Hello, I'm R.A. Spratt. I write and perform this podcast. If you'd like to support the show, I'm a children's author, so you can buy a book by me, or you can buy me a coffee by going to buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. It's an easy way to make a small thank you gift to the show so I can keep kicking this can down the road. The podcast directory you're using right now should have a link to my Buy Me a Coffee page in the show notes, or you can type it into your browser. That's buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. All contributions are gratefully appreciated. Hello and welcome to Bedtime Stories with me, R.A. Spratt. Okay, so last week we started the story Boris the Big Movie Star, and we got halfway through. So this week we're going to finish up that story. So let's get stuck into part two. Here we go.
Oh, but I don't think I could do that, said Boris. I don't want to be difficult.
You will have to learn, said Nanny Piggins. And so that very evening, Nanny Piggins and the children set to work teaching Boris to be unpleasant. It was not an easy job. Being such a polite bear, rudeness did not come naturally to him. Nanny Piggins decided to start small by teaching Boris to stop saying please and thank you. Right, I'm going to hand you this biscuit, said Nanny Piggins, and when you take it, I want you to not say thank you.
All right, said Boris, staring at the biscuit with intent concentration.
Here goes, said Nanny Piggins, holding out the treat. Boris took it in his paw.
Thank you, he said, before popping it in his mouth.
Boris, chided Nanny Piggins, you are meant to not say thank you. Remember, you're learning how to be a rude and obnoxious movie star.
Oh, sorry, said Boris.
You should stop saying that too, said Nanny Piggins.
I apologise, said Boris.
That's too polite as well, said Nanny Piggins.
Oh dear, said Boris, I didn't realise I was such a nice bear.
But you are, said Samantha with a smile. She liked Boris just the way he was. Okay, let's try this again, said Nanny Piggins, holding out a biscuit. Remember, no more thank yous. She handed it to Boris.
Thank you, said Boris.
Boris, exclaimed Nanny Piggins.
Oh, sorry, said Boris. When I see the biscuit, I'm just so grateful to be getting it that everything else leaves my mind.
Nanny Piggins sighed. That's all right. We have all night. I'm sure I can teach you to be rude and obnoxious if we stick with it. It did take all night, but by 5 in the morning, Boris had stopped using politeness words and was even making a few rude demands, such as,
fetch me a jar of honey and I'll do as much ballet as I like.
The children suspected that sleep deprivation more than Nanny Piggins' coaching had contributed to Boris's newfound grumpiness. All right, said Nanny Piggins, you're all ready to go back to the set. When they see how rude you are now, I'm sure they'll fire you.
Do you think so? Asked Boris hopefully.
If you are truly discourteous to everyone, you'll be fine, said Nanny Piggins.
Thank you, said Boris, giving his sister a big hug.
Chided Nanny Piggins.
That will be my last thank you for the day, I promise, said Boris.
At 8 o'clock that night, Boris returned home, looking weary.
How did it go? Asked Michael. Dreadfully, said Boris.
Why? Because you couldn't keep up being rude to everyone? Asked Derek.
No, I found I actually quite liked being rude to everyone once I got in the swing of it, said Boris. The problem was that everybody else liked it too.
What do you mean? Asked Nanny Piggins.
Apparently, that is the way actors normally behave. So as soon as I started being rude and demanding, the crew felt much more comfortable and they all started to like me, explained Boris. Before I left, they gave me this.
Boris took out a mug. Printed on the side, it read, Our favourite actor of the day.
They give out mugs to their favourite actors? Said a puzzled Nanny Piggins. It's more of a tool for upsetting the actors who don't get the mugs, explained Boris. And the director liked me so much, he wants me written into more scenes, which will mean another 4 weeks added to my contract.
Right, that's it, announced Nanny Piggins. This has gone on too long.
What are you going to do? Asked Derek.
Are you going to teach Boris how to trash a set? Asked Michael hopefully. Like most small boys, he enjoyed wrecking things.
No, I'm going to take the matter in hand personally, said Nanny Piggins. Boris, you get a good night's rest. Tomorrow, I will be coming to work with you to get you fired. Oh, thank you, Sarah. Thank you, gushed Boris. If anybody can upset these film people, I'm sure you can. So the next morning, Nanny Piggins and the children went with Boris to the film set. It was nowhere near as glamorous as the children had imagined. There were wires everywhere, scruffy people fiddling with equipment, and all the glamorous high-tech space set seemed to be entirely held together by gaffer tape. "We're doing a big scene where the Death Bots land their spaceship and have a huge phaser shootout with the heroes today," explained Boris. "So the crew are getting ready for that because there'll be special effects with smoke and explosions."
"Right, you just wait here," said Nanny Piggins. "I'm going to go and see if I can get you fired in time to get home for the young and the irritable."
Nanny Piggins disappeared behind the sets. Boris and the children amused themselves for the next couple of hours by playing Guess When the Crew Member Last Had a Bath. The assistant directors looked pretty clean, but some of the gaffers looked like they only washed on weekends, which is actually a look that takes much more time in front of the mirror to achieve. 3 hours later, Nanny Piggins had not re-emerged, and certainly nothing spectacular and sackworthy had occurred. It looked like Boris was going to have to go on. He'd been given makeup, one dab of powder on his shiny nose, and costume, a belt, and they were about to shoot the big special effects scene.
"I do hope that Sarah hasn't run off and forgotten about me," said Boris sadly.
"Of course she hasn't," said Michael.
"Not unless she's seen something to eat," said Derek.
"But all the catering department does is churn out delicious food," panicked Boris.
"I'm doomed. I'm never going to see my sister again."
"Quiet, please," yelled the assistant director. "Everyone, to your marks."
Which meant all the actors, including Boris, had to go and stand on specific spots on the floor. Then they were given strict instructions not to move, not even to do ballet, because there were going to be so many explosions and phaser blasts that if they moved an inch, they might get hurt by a piece of flying debris.
"Okay, we're going for a take," called the director through a bullhorn. "This scene is costing $400,000 to shoot. There will be no take two, so please, nobody stuff it up."
"Cameras rolling," called the director of photography.
"Sounds good," called the head of sound department.
"All right, action," yelled the director.
And suddenly Boris was in the midst of the most terrifying cacophony of explosions he had ever experienced. At least not since the ringmaster hired a very angry Chinese fireworks expert who tried to blow up the whole circus with bottle rockets. The lead actors were yelling dramatic dialogue.
"You'll never take me! No! I don't care if you're my biological father! I refuse to be evil!" And, "Shut up, alien! You're not the boss of me!" All while shooting at each other with phaser blasters.
Then, just as the melee of gunplay and screaming dialogue was about to climax, the most unexpected thing happened. There was a huge explosion and Nanny Piggins, dressed in a space costume, smashed in through the back of the set, tearing the canvas that had been painstakingly painted to look like outer space. When she landed gracefully by slamming into the leading lady and knocking her down, all the other actors froze in stunned astonishment.
"I am Pigdora, queen of the pig people from the planet Swina Centauri," announced Nanny Piggins, "and I have come here to tell you all off for making too much noise and disturbing the rest of the galaxy."
The lead actors looked at each other. They knew this was an expensive scene and it could not be shot again, so they had to improvise.
Sorry, said the heroic leading man.
"Cut!" screamed the director, throwing his bullhorn on the ground and marching out onto the set.
"Oh, goody," said Boris. "I think this is the bit where I get fired."
"Who are you?" demanded the director, standing over Nanny Piggins.
"I am Boris's sister," announced Nanny Piggins. "I was visiting him when I thought it would be fun to join in."
"You just thought you'd join in?" exclaimed the director.
"Yes," said Nanny Piggins. "Oh, I do hope I haven't done anything wrong," which was a fib.
"You," said the director, stabbing his finger at Nanny Piggins,
"were brilliant."
He broke into a big smile.
"I was?" asked Nanny Piggins in confusion.
The director grabbed her and kissed her once on each cheek, and Nanny Piggins was so shocked she didn't even stamp on his foot.
"We've been looking for a way to end that scene," enthused the director. "You were perfect, just what we needed." He turned to the producer.
"Fire the writer. We're going with the ending the pig improvised."
"Wait. Hang on a minute, we need to talk," began Nanny Piggins.
"Yes, we do need to talk," agreed the director,
putting his arm around Nanny Piggins' shoulders and leading her away.
"I'm going to sign you up to a lucrative, long-term, multi-picture deal."
"This isn't what Nanny Piggins planned, is it?" Boris asked the children.
"I don't think so," said Michael. They watched as Nanny Piggins disappeared into the director's trailer.
"Oh dear," said Boris, "I'm going to be stuck being a movie star forever."
Boris and the children sat helplessly watching the outside of the director's trailer. They were given very little indication of what was going on inside. Occasionally they could hear yelling, but they could not make out what was being yelled. And at one stage there was clearly a struggle because the trailer rocked back and forth and there was the sound of china being smashed over someone's head. After 2 hours, the door suddenly burst open and Nanny Piggins emerged. She walked straight over to Boris and grabbed him by the arm. "Come on, we're going," said Nanny Piggins. "But," began Boris. "No but," said Nanny Piggins. "We have to get out of here before I do something else that's fabulous and one of these lunatics tries to put me in an action-adventure comedy." Later that day, Nanny Piggins, Boris and the children sat around their kitchen table eating Madeira cake to calm their nerves after such an eventful morning. Nanny Piggins explained what had happened in the trailer. "They wanted me to sign an exclusive long-term contract for millions and millions of dollars." "Ugh," shuddered Nanny Piggins. "But after a lot of haggling, I got them to agree to my terms." "What were they?" asked Michael. "I said they could use the footage of me smashing in through the back of the set, rename the movie Revenge of the Pig Queen, and put huge movie posters of me all around the world on the condition that they immediately fire Boris and give us enough money to pay for the damages at the Honey Emporium." "And they agreed to that?" asked Derek. "Reluctantly," said Nanny Piggins. "They're going to get an animatronic pig to play me in the rest of the movie." "But what about Boris's part?" asked Samantha. "They're going to get a man in a hairy suit to replace him," explained Nanny Piggins. "But that sounds crazy," said Derek. "As far as I can tell, these film people are crazy," said Nanny Piggins. "They're even worse than circus folk." "True," agreed Boris, "but their catering is much better." "But Nanny Piggins, why didn't you take the deal?" asked Derek. "You'd be a rich movie star with millions and millions of dollars." "Then who would look after you three?" asked Nanny Piggins. "I could hardly leave your father in charge."
"And I'm not management material," said Boris sadly.
Nanny Piggins gave him a supportive hug. "That's all right. It's much better I stay here and be the nanny. If I were a rich, glamorous super celebrity, I wouldn't have nearly enough time for baking." And that is the end of the story. So we'll leave it there. So that, as I said, is a chapter from Nanny Piggins and the Rival Ringmaster, book 5 in the Nanny Piggins series. And it is now, it's just in the last couple of weeks, become available as an audiobook. So if you want to hear all the stories in this book, because there's 10 altogether, then please download and buy that book. It would be a huge help to me and it would help support the podcast. Okay, that's it for now. Until next time, goodbye.